Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless now, please, the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible, Lord. Thank you for preserving it. Thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we have free access to it. May we not take that for granted, Lord. May we not be lulled to sleep. And I pray, Lord, that we would value the very book, Lord, that represents in print your precious Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I pray, Lord, as we preach the Bible, we'd preach Jesus. How can you separate the two? Because if he be lifted up, then the Bible says all men will be drawn unto him. And I pray, Lord, that that would happen this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. We're going to focus not on Phoenix and not on Cyprus, but on a city by the name of Antioch. Antioch. The Antioch referred to in Acts chapter 11 was located in Syria. At the time of Paul, it was the third largest city of the Roman Empire, boasting a population over 200,000 strong. A vast street ran through the heart of the city, lined with decorated palaces, ornate amphitheaters, and large public baths. A robust population of Jews added themselves to a diverse and varied population. This was a city immersed in pagan worship, with its most famous and celebrated temple known as the Sanctuary of Apollo. Most would see this city as a stronghold of Satan, but God saw it as a city ripe for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it proved to be. No city after Jerusalem is so connected with the history of the church during the time of the apostles. It became a stronghold for God and a foothold in the heathen Gentile world from which the missionary efforts of Barnabas, Paul, and others would spread the gospel across Asia and Europe. The first Gentile church was founded here. And as duly noted in the scripture, the word Christian was first uttered in reference to these frontline fanatical followers of Jesus Christ. This morning I want to preach on this subject, the first Gentile church. The first Gentile church. Together, I'd like you to join me as we place this church under a scriptural microscope and learn from its 2,000-year-old example. Because I believe, folks, that a study of this church is a study of how a church can achieve validity and vibrancy and supernatural victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as I talk about the Church of Antioch this morning, I think it would be very fitting that the folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church
put our church alongside this church that I believe, being the first Gentile church, is a church patterned for us Gentiles. I think we ought to probably hold our church up next to it and see if there's some things that we can learn from the church of Antioch. Are you ready? Verse number 19. First of all, the Bible says that this was a church born out of persecution. This was a church born out of persecution. Look at verse 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, watch this, traveled as far as Phoenix. Some of them went to Phoenix. Some went farther to Cyprus. And some of them had to go all the way to Antioch. But notice this, when they arrived, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. This was a church born out of persecution. How did these missionaries or these early Christians end up in Antioch preaching the Bible? Was it that they went to a missions conference and came down an aisle and surrendered to go to the mission field and was trained and equipped to go to the mission field and plant churches? Absolutely not. I think the folks that ended up in Antioch, if they'd have had their way, would rather have been back where they originally lived. But there was such a persecution that arose about the time that they put Stephen to death that literally, are you listening to me, church? Literally, well, you know, we take our freedoms for granted here. We take our liberties for granted here. I mean, we're talking about a time where people had to pick up everything that they owned, everything that they could carry on their back or on the back of what transportation they had, and flee the cities that they lived in, flee their family, flee their friends, flee their jobs, leave with sometimes nothing but the clothes on their back to escape the persecution of the early Christians. So these weren't a group of people that intended to be missionaries. They were thrust into it as they ran for their very lives. And you know something? I don't know about you, but it's interesting as I study the Bible that it seems when the Church of Jesus Christ were going through times of persecution, that's when it thrived the most. And when we had things too comfortable, that's when it seems like we backslid the most. And I don't know what's going to happen. It's interesting for all of us to be so concerned about revival. And I think that there is a core group, that remnant of God's people that continually, whether it's secret or in a united fashion, find that place to their closet and pray and still plead that God would send revival to America. And by the way, folks, we ought to be a part of that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We ought not to give up on the idea that God could still send a revival to the shores of this country. America needs revival. But let me tell you this, that as you pray that prayer, what you may actually be praying for is another Great Depression or another war, because I think that we have been lulled asleep. We have it too good. We have such a quality of life. We're comfortable. And you know what? Traditionally, when the Church of Jesus Christ was not in the position where it was facing persecution, instead it was enjoying prosperity, that's when we did the very least that we should have done. And so here was a church that was born out of persecution, scattered abroad because of the persecution that arose. And I wish I could take these folks and bring them right in the back door and resurrect them up and have them tell you their individual stories. I think some of the Christians that come straggling into Antioch, folks, literally was destitute. They had nothing more than, like I said a minute ago, the clothes on their back. They literally ran for their lives. I think that they were brokenhearted. I think some of them, they had loved ones that had been committed to jail. I think that there was some young teenagers that didn't have a daddy with them and was bringing mama and trying to get her to a place that was safe. I think there was children that was maybe attached to another Christian family whose mama had been put to death and daddy had been put to death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something, folks. It would have been very easy for this early group to just say, let's go find us a hole somewhere. Let's just go find us a safe haven. Let's just go blend in somewhere. And then let's just get quiet about this. And when things cool down, then we'll start witnessing again, or then we'll start preaching again. But let me tell you something. I've got to tip my hat to these early Christians, because no matter what they faced and how persecuted they were and how destitute they were and how brokenhearted they were, you know what? They did not fail to go forward and publicly preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, church. If we have to be shamed a little bit this morning, then let's be shamed a little bit this morning. But you know what? You know, we have a generation, and I think we've got a society, and even in inside the church where one or two things go wrong in our life and we're going through a little bit of a difficult time and maybe, everything isn't as it ought to be and maybe we do have some issues and situations in our life that's less than perfect. And you know what? We want to use those things as an excuse to back up on God instead of go forward for God. And listen to me, how much does it take to get you to the point where you'll no longer talk about Jesus? How much will it take? I think if we were to introduce and bring these folks up to the front and they would tell their stories, it wouldn't be very long before there wouldn't be a dry eye in the house. And you know what? I think all of us would be ashamed. We're not facing death, but we don't preach the gospel. We're not facing starvation, but we don't preach the gospel. We're not destitute, but we don't preach the gospel. And here this little group came in here and they birthed a church out of persecution. So this was a church that was born out of persecution. Now look, if you will, also at this. This also was a church, even though it was born out of persecution, that was bent on spreading the gospel. I mean, they were just determined and dogged in their efforts to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Notice, if you will, when they first came into Antioch, at the end of verse number 19, they were preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Then something interesting happens in verse 20 and 21. And some of them were men of Cyrus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, by the way, that may seem normal to us today. Remember last week's message? My favorite Bible word, whosoever. But I'm going to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ in the early days didn't always have a whosoever attitude. What they would do sometimes and say, we're going to go to a city and we're going to seek out that Jewish population and we're going to tell them that the Messiah has come. We're going to tell them about a Savior. But what was exciting that happened here in this first Gentile church is that some of the Jews begin to share the story of Jesus Christ with Gentiles. And guess what? Gentiles believed. And guess what? Gentiles were saved. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. This was a church bent on spreading the gospel. Yes, let's go to the Jews, but let's also go to the Gentiles. Listen, Blessed Hope, if we're not careful, we get in the same mentality. You know what? We almost get a segment of society that we're going to go after. We almost get a certain group of people that we want, a certain kind of person that we want to spread the gospel to. But my Bible says that we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I would hate to think that there'd be a day that whosoever was not the battle cry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd hate to think that there's a day when we get so cliquish and narrow-minded that there's certain people that we want to reach, but there's certain people that we don't want as part of our congregation. Shame on us, shame on us, shame on us if we have that attitude. Let me tell you something. The same Jesus that died for you died for every other person out there. You're no better, no worse than anybody else, and everybody deserves to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I look forward to looking, and as I look around in the future, and I don't know what God's going to do here, and I'll tell you what, but I'm excited. I'll tell you that. I am excited about the future of this church. I sometimes look around, and I guess one of the niches, one of the things that I do is I'm constantly asking God, listen, we're reaching this group, or we're reaching this community, or, but Lord, where are the groups of people that are right under our nose that we're overlooking? I mean, what would be wrong with Blessed Hope Baptist Church one of these days having a deaf ministry? What would be wrong with us having a blind ministry? What would be wrong with us starting a bus route in a community where we've never started a bus route before? Listen, we cannot get satisfied here at our church that we're doing all we can. And I think that they made a mistake initially by only going to the Jews. I'm glad they went to the Jews. But you know what? I'm glad somebody just said, hey, you know what? While we're out here speaking the gospel, let's not pick and choose. Let's just get everybody and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. A church bent on spreading the gospel. And let me tell you something. As we do this, I want to hold up the Church of Antioch, then I want to hold up Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? In some ways, our histories in some ways are somewhat similar. You know, this was a church that was born out of persecution. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church was not born in good times. They were born in hard times. And if you don't know the history of it, I'm not going to go through it all this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. We have a history of a group of people that, you know what, was called everything in the world and talked down in the community and kicked out of a church and not wanted because of their plain stand on the preaching of the Scriptures and salvation by grace and separation from the world and soul winning, going door to door, and that made some people uncomfortable. And a little group of people said, well, you know what, if we can't find a church that agrees with that or likes that or wants that, let's just start one here in Greene County that believes in those things. Let's start a church that believes in the bus ministry. Let's start a church that believes in Christian education. Let's start a church that believes in soul winning. Let's start a church that's not going to be mad when new people come in, but are going to be glad when new people come in. Let's start a church with a whosoever attitude. Let's go out there and sweep this community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, listen to me. We could become the very type of church that we came out of if we're not careful. We cannot get this me, us, me, you, us three, and that's all mentality. Us four, no more mentality. You know what? We ought to be out there going after every single person we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the kind of church that they had here in Antioch, a church bent on spreading the gospel. Okay, there's the Church of Antioch. Is Blessed Hope Baptist Church bent on spreading the gospel? Is Blessed Hope Baptist Church bent on spreading the gospel? I mean, is that our heartbeat? Is that what we're the most concerned about? Is that what we sit around talking about and dreaming about and thinking about? Or have we, folks, taken our eyes and instead of lifting them up into the fields and seeing how white they are to harvest, sometimes what we do is we turn our eyes into the church instead of out from the church. We're more interested in talking about each other or talking about this brother or talking about this. And we don't, listen, get your eyes back out there where they belong. A church bent on spreading the gospel. Brother Jerry, what drives you? Somebody getting saved. What drives you? One more soul coming down the aisle to receive Jesus Christ. What drives you, Brother Jerry? Last Sunday morning, a boy visiting from Canada, comes down here to visit his grandma. Some bus worker gets him on a bus. He comes in and receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. Listen, I don't know what else y'all been thinking about this week, but I've been glorying in the fact that God allowed me to be a little bit of a part of that. I mean, that's what this church is about. Let's get the gospel out. Let's win people to Christ. Let's go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. A church bent on spreading the gospel. Let me share something else with you. In verse 22, it's interesting. That says this. Then all of a sudden there was a bunch of believers there and people were getting saved and people were turning unto the Lord. And the hand of God was with this little group of Christians that ended up in Antioch as a result of persecution. Now notice this in verse 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the church. This is also a church that was blessed with men of God, with men, a man of God and with men of God. And let me tell you something, folks. I got to looking at this week and I got excited. You know what? First of all, they needed a pastor. And so the church in Jerusalem said, man, let's go send somebody. There's a group of Christians, frontline Christians. They're not called into full-time service. They're not ordained to be ministers. But they're out there winning souls to Jesus Christ. And now there's enough of them. They're calling back to the home base saying, send us a preacher. We got enough for a church. That's exciting. And so here comes Barnabas, and he's going to come and pastor this church in its infancy here and get this church off the ground. Very interesting. Verse 25, it says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And you know what? He went and found a young preacher that was just called into the ministry, brought him in and said, you know what? This church would also be, watch this, a great training ground for some young preachers. And so I'm going to get Saul and I'm going to say, Saul, listen to me. You want to learn the ropes? Brother, there's a revival happening over in Antioch. And I'm in the middle of this thing and this thing's growing faster than I know what to do with. So, hey, let me go. Listen, folks, I'll be back. I got to take a trip this week. And he went and found this young, zealous preacher and brought him back. And by the way, this is Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. And he cut his teeth knocking doors in Antioch. He cut his teeth preaching in nursing homes in Antioch. He cut his teeth doing children's churches in Antioch. He cut his teeth running buses, no, running wagons in Antioch. I mean, that's where he learned the ropes, folks. Everything that the apostle Paul as a missionary was destined to accomplish, he was learning it, the basics there in Antioch. Boy, that's exciting to me. There were some men of God in this church. There was a pastor. There were some young preachers that were willing to just come and learn under a man of God and get ready to go out and do something. I love this in verse 27. Notice this. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And you know what? Not only did they have a preacher and they had some young preachers, they also had some prophets that came through and preached the Bible to that early church. You know, I got to looking about this. That got me excited. And I thought to myself, man alive, I'm going to go back in the last year and I'm going to take a look at the different prophets that God has allowed. Here's Antioch, folks. Let's look at Blessed Hope for a minute. I got thinking, boy, of all the prophets, all the preachers that God has sent through this place in the last year. And by the way, I wrote down a list of them here. Let me give them to you. In the last calendar year, thereabouts, we've gotten the folks here at this church have had an opportunity to hear Dr. Fred Schindler from Downington, Pennsylvania. I mean, 40-some years experience in the ministry, and he came and preached in this church. We got to hear Pastor Jeff Brady, who's doing a great job in Farmington, birthing a new church out there. What a vibrant Christian. We've had our own missionary, Luke Townsley, come back and preach from this pulpit in the last year. Missionary Ed Bissett, that we support now, 20 years veteran in Ireland, came here and preached the gospel to this congregation. Are you listening to me? Dr. Philip Crow, an evangelist, who's been on the road for 20-some-odd years, came through here, parked his RV out there, his old Greyhound bus or whatever bus he found and remodeled lately, and came in here and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and preached to the church here. Evangelist Dan Goodwin came and preached. Evangelist Hal Hightower came here on a Sunday and stayed through a Wednesday and blessed our hearts and challenged us and preached the Bible. Evangelist Philip Gabbard came here for our Christmas banquet and did a couple of chalk drawings. But you know what? I'm glad he did chalk drawings, but I'm more glad that he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and preached to us as Christians and challenged us. Dr. Shelton Smith from the Sword of the Lord preached in this pulpit in the last calendar year. Missionary Andrew Spears, can you see him? Setting up here with a disease that most Christians would hide behind and use as an excuse to do nothing for the Lord. He doesn't complain about it. He doesn't whine about it. He's on the mission field right now serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had the privilege of hearing him. Missionary Dave Carney came and presented the 100 Nations Challenge from BIMI. Pastor Kevin Albert was at our Valentine banquet and I think preached what I told him afterwards was absolutely the best banquet message I have ever heard any preacher preach, and challenged and helped our married couples in there. Missionary John Lawrence came and burdened our heart concerning the need to reach the Jews. He stood here and preached, folks, from this pulpit. Brother Jeremy Rands, one of my good friends in the ministry from Bearing Precious Seed, what a heart for God, preached in this pulpit. A church planter, Lou DeFelip Antonio, preached in this pulpit. Jim Payne, going to the Dominican Republic, preached in this pulpit. Missionary Terry Morse, by the way, a veteran missionary from France, came here and preached in this pulpit. Evangelist Jason Tester, a young evangelist that I thought, well, I'll give him a chance to come in and do some preaching, came in here on Wednesday night and absolutely lit the place up and preached, and the conviction of God came upon our church. What a great service that was. Dr. David James came up here and preached through the entire book of the Revelation, our prophecy conference, in just a few days. Evangelist Steve Epley preached the Bible from this pulpit. Missionary Stu Overmiller preached the Bible. Colonel Tyler Ryberg come in here and preached the Bible on our God and Country Sunday. A missionary, Stan Kiefer, used to pastor this church, came and preached the Bible and challenged us concerning this burden for the Philippines. And Dr. Jim Jorgensen, 30-some-odd years in church education, preached the gospel. Brother Dale Money preached the gospel. Missionary Ben Angel preached the gospel. By the way, several times, Pastor Robert Ross of the last year has come up here and preached the gospel, bring with him 37 years of pastoral experience, preached the gospel. Brother Fred Proetz come up and preached the gospel. Brother Jonathan Reiser has come up and preached the gospel and has spoken out to our young people and in school chapel and other places. And folks, in the last year, over 166 times, I think 166 times, your pastor has stood in this pulpit and preached the Bible or taught the Bible. Listen to me. We are a church that is blessed, and we have been blessed, and men of God have come here and preached and challenged us, and we are responsible for every single thing we've heard. Everything we're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. This church is blessed with men of God. This church, by the way, folks, listen to me. I'm not here to toot my own horn. I never magnify myself, but I do believe it's my job to magnify the office. Don't take your pastor for granted. Don't take our pastoral staff for granted. Don't take these preachers that come in from all over the country for granted. There's churches all across this country that are shutting down. You know why? They don't have a man of God. They don't have a man of God. They don't have a man of God. There's churches all over. I'm talking about churches that are holding on for dear life. Some of them have been out without pastors for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, pleading for someone to come and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the Bible to a group of Christians. We have been blessed with men of God here. Number four, this was a church brimming with faithful people. Brimming with faithful people. I love verse 26. It says, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The honest truth is, folks, you can bring in all the men of God you want. But if there's not a group of people that are willing to assemble and gather and listen and learn and hear the word of God preached, then you know what? Nothing much is going to happen. I want to thank God publicly. Listen, we're not here to lift men up. We know if anybody's anything, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tip my hand and thank God for the people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Probably the thing that I say more about my church when I'm asked about it or questioned about it or it comes up in conversation with the community, I will say this over and over again to people all over the place. They'll say, man, some good things are happening, or how's your church doing? I'll say almost immediately, we have been blessed with some faithful people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, folks, you are vital. You are vitally important. Now, listen, assemble when we're supposed to assemble. Show up when we're supposed to show up. Just lock in. Be here. Be of one mind. Be of one heart. Listen to the Bible. Let God change you and touch you and prepare you. Because let me tell you something, there's much work that needs to be done in reaching our Antioch for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, this was a church bathed in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Man, I like this. Verse 26, at the end of the verse, the last sentence says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. By the way, there was a reason behind that. Preachers have preached entire messages on that little sentence there, and I'm going to try to captivate it in just a couple minutes, but let me just get right down to the bottom line. They didn't just come out with this nickname, happenstance. This wasn't a fluke. When these people saw this group of disciples, they recognized, watch this, they recognized the boldness of Jesus Christ. They recognized the character of Jesus Christ. And they recognized the holiness of Jesus Christ. Now, are you saying for 1 second, Brother Jerry, that these disciples were equal with Jesus or achieved perfection as Christ did? Absolutely not. But there was enough of the earmarks of Jesus Christ that was stamped deeply into their way of life and their way of conducting themselves in their way and boldness in spreading the gospel that pretty soon they begin to say, listen, these people are like Christ. These are like Christ or Christ-like people, Christians, Christians, Christians. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I see that challenge. I see that held up before us, and then I try to hold us up beside that, and I try to hold myself up beside that. And instead of saying amen, I want to say, oh me. There's ever a time where a world needs to see Jesus Christ reflected in the lives of God's people. It's right now. It's right now. Where is the boldness of Jesus Christ? Can they see that same boldness in us? Where's the character? The character. The character of Jesus Christ. Where is that in this society, even in the church? And heaven forbid, where is the holiness of Jesus Christ? I wrote an article years ago in our local paper when I used to write an article for our religious page there. For about 2 years, I wrote one every week and got so busy. I went to once a month, and now I've just bailed out on them. But maybe one of these days we'll start it back up. I wrote a message or a little article in there, challenging the religious community to consider once again the issue of a holy life. A holy life. It's amazing the reactions you get when you begin to teach or talk about holiness. The Bible still says, be ye holy as I am holy. God still sets that as the bar. Say, Brother Jerry, I can't always reach that. Yeah, but we don't lower it. We just get up every day and try again. The next week on the editorial page, a man wrote in. in response to that article, I'll read what he wrote. The holiness of God is unattainable, therefore it is not wise to speak much on the subject. A preacher who sets standards of holiness will always soon find himself a hypocrite, unable to live up to what he preaches. Right and wrong is between a child of God and the Spirit of God. Holiness is a subject of the heart, not a sermon for the pulpit. Yep, that's where we're at, folks. You know what? Every man just wants to do what's right in his own eyes. Don't you judge me, don't you judge me, don't you judge me. Let me tell you, I'm not judging anybody. This book will judge us all. This book sets the standard. This book determines what's right. This book determines what's wrong. And you know what? Whether or not you agree with this book or not, let me tell you, you'll be judged by this book. We'll all be judged by this book. And we ought to get back to the time and the place and get back to the mindset of, you know what? I need to conform to the Bible, because in conforming to the Bible, I conform to the image of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I say this a lot, but I think it's beautiful. You know, a man said to me one time, I heard Gail Rush say this in a message. He said, if you took this book and today we could wave a magic wand and turn it into a person, Jesus Christ would be standing here. And if you could take Jesus Christ and turn him into a book, the King James Bible would be in your hand. And the more we're conformed to this book, the more we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the two. Stop hiding behind the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to lead you to obey the Bible. The Spirit of God is going to lead you to a life of holiness. He is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He reinforces what's taught in the Holy Bible. Amen. And tries to get us to head towards a holy God and live a holy life. So where's that in the church? I don't know. I just wonder sometimes if a lost world were to look at us and put us under the microscope, would the thought that come to their mind be Christians, Christ-like? Would that be what they thought? Let me give you this last thought. This not only was a church that was born out of persecution and bent on spreading the gospel, blessed with men of God, brimming with faithful people, bathed in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, but this was a church benevolent in their Christian giving. Boy, this is important. Folks, listen to me. Remember the people I was talking about? Remember the condition they're in? These are not folks that are riding in wagons of wealth. These aren't people that have been transferred from Jerusalem to Antioch because they're getting a pay raise and becoming a CEO of some company in town. These are folks that are straggling in with the clothes on their back and their few possessions and their broken homes, and their heart aches because of loved ones that are imprisoned or have been murdered for the cause of Christ. But you know what? When they saw a need, as always you see in God's people, there was a sense of sacrifice. And they were willing to reach down deep and, you know what, give to whatever the need was before them. The Bible says in verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, I think that's important, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And you know, so many times we have the mentality, you want me to give? Well, I have my own needs. Well, can I share this with you? They had their own needs too. And yet they heard of some need that was greater than their need. And can I tell you something, folks? The honest truth is there are needs that are greater than our needs. There are needs that are greater than our wants. There are things that are more important that needs to happen in spreading the gospel than what kind of car we drive or how big a house we live in or how fancy a clothes we own or what the latest toys are that we've collected. There's some things that are so much more important. And if I think I brought this group of people in and we watched the offering plate being passed in Annie, and by the way, I'm not a money grubber. I'm not here to raise money for me. I'm going to make the same this week whether the offerings go up or down. But I'm telling you what can and will happen or cannot happen for the cause of Christ and the spread of the gospel. A lot of times it's determined by whether or not God's people have a sacrificial heart when it comes to giving. It's a church benevolent in their Christian giving. I think if we went to the church of Antioch and we really understood, by the way, every man according to his ability, if we understood what they had and what they gave and we saw that ratio, it would convict us greatly. Let me just give you this little thought. I don't believe in equal giving, but I do believe in equal sacrifice. Let me say it again. I don't believe in equal giving. You know what? Every man has to give according to his ability. Somebody here may be blessed in a way that they can give more than someone else. But you know what? I do believe in equal sacrifice. And I think that it all ought to be sacrifice, and there all ought to be an element of sacrifice in everything that we give. You may not be able to give as much to somebody in the church, but you can sacrifice as much as they sacrifice. And I think it needs to be a group effort. This evening we're going to walk over on a piece of property, and we're going to see a building that, folks, let me tell you something. I wish I could convince the church, and I'm going to try to share my heart with you. But you know what? The building of this building is absolutely intricate to the future of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and us being able to go to the next level and reach more people, Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Sometimes it's up to God's people to just rise up and build. To rise up and build. And that building, of course, you say, oh, Brother Jerry, I can't wait. I want to drive a nail. I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, folks, listen to me. The giving has to come before the work. I mean, you can have all the willing hands show up out there you want to, willing to do the work. But if we don't have willing pocketbooks, there's no material to do the work with. So folks must be willing to give. Or, tell you what, we'll talk about it tonight. You go back in the Old Testament, and you know what you saw? You saw when God challenged God's people in this matter. God's men challenged God's people in this matter of building something for God. Let me tell you something. There wasn't stinginess. There wasn't excuses made. There wasn't a process of elimination in people's minds of why it's everybody else's job but not theirs. Folks came and gave to the point where oftentimes the men of God had to say, stop, stop, that's enough. That's what the Church of Antioch was like, and that's what the Church of Antioch sets before us as an example. The first Gentile church. Well, folks, we're a church of Gentiles. This is a Gentile church. Doesn't mean that Jewish people wouldn't be welcome. And boy, I'd sure like to see some Jewish people come to Jesus Christ through the ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be remarkable? But for the most part, we're a Gentile church. You know why? Because we live in a Gentile community. And Gentiles are the ones that we have been commissioned to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. As we hold up the Church of Antioch, instead of reaching up and holding up Blessed Hope Baptist Church, maybe we ought not to do that. Maybe during the invitation, we ought to hold up the Church of Antioch and we ought to hold ourselves up in comparison to that. And we ought to say, you know what, Lord, what can I do, or how can I change, or what do I need to do to be more like what you intended in your original pattern for the Gentile churches? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I mostly spoke to the Blessed Hope Baptist Church members. I mostly spoke to our core people here today. But let me challenge you with this. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. You are missing out on the greatest life that could ever be lived. God has provided for you a free gift. It's free to you, but it wasn't free to Him. It cost Him His Son's life. Jesus was willing, the Son of God was willing to come down, live a perfect life, die on a cross of Calvary and shed His blood for your sins and for my sins. He calls to the heart of men to this day. 3 days later, He was buried and He rose again. The resurrected Christ offers salvation. He says, listen, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. But I died for those sins. I want to pay for those sins. I've bought and purchased for you the gift of eternal life. It's free to whosoever will. Now, if you insist on rejecting that gift, one day you'll have to stand before God and pay for your own sins. But let me just say this in all kindness. What a foolish thing to do. Jesus Christ loved you so much, He died for you. Me? Yes, you. He had you in mind when He hung on Calvary. He knew that all mankind had the same problem, sin problem. And only the shed blood, only the shedding of perfect God blood would ever be able to pay the price of men's sin debt. And Jesus did that. He was willing to do that. If you've never been saved, I pray that you'll be saved today. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, as we look at this wonderful pattern of the Gentile church, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be stirred. Help us to not get just caught up in what we think, what our evaluation or our list of criteria is for a successful church. But I pray, Lord, that we'd look straight into the Scriptures. And then as we look into the Scriptures, we'd let the Scriptures look straight into us. Holy Spirit, please touch us and convict us. May we be a people, Lord, even though we may be under the finger of individual persecution, maybe we have problems, no matter what our situation, Lord, help us not to hide behind that as an excuse not to be bent on spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the men of God that have come through this pulpit, Lord, to this pulpit through the years. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege of pastoring this church. And Lord, thank you for faithful people. Oh God, please, Lord, help us to be a giving people and a people, Lord, that's bent on reaching the lost in any way we can, training up young people that'll go out and be missionaries and evangelists and preachers and laymen and bus captains and Sunday school teachers. And Lord, that we'd make a difference in this community, our Antioch, for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.